Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. We're asking questions. Questions like, how do these Gospels apply into my daily living? How can I become a reflection of God's love to this world? How can I become light in this darkness? How can I become a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day? And that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. We're going to talk all about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. This has got to be the sweetest invitation in all of the Bible. Come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. That sounds good, doesn't it? My friends, we are living in anxious times. There's a whole lot of fear out there in this world. Fear of the virus. Fear of each other. Riots in the streets. People holding signs. Seems like everybody's got something to say. There's no shortage of opinion, but you know what there is a shortage of? Peace. There's a real shortage of peace. Not a whole lot of peace around here. And it's no wonder why. Cable news sings the same song 1,000 different ways. The song of anger. The song of hate. The song of distrust, with a chorus of unrest. No rest for the weary. Which, by the way, did you know that that phrase finds its origin in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22? But the original phrase is not no rest for the weary, but no rest for the wicked. Isaiah describes the wicked as the tossing sea that cannot be quiet, which I must say is a perfect description of our world today. A tossing sea that cannot be quiet. And why is this sea tossing and churning? I'll tell you why. Fear. Starting with the fear of the future. Because, of course, nobody knows the future. And that unknown causes uncertainty. And the byproduct of uncertainty is restlessness. But that's not the only reason. We all live with a quiet anxiety. All of us. It is built into the fabric of our very DNA. Because as the great 4th century St. Augustine put so well, we were created by God, we were created for God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. So we all have this natural restlessness inside of us. I've heard it described as the God-shaped hole. Because God has a purpose in your life. He's created you for a purpose. And until you embrace your purpose, your heart will be restless. This is a fact that is lost on many people. As that old song sings, are looking for love in all the wrong places. Driven by the lust of our flesh, the greed of our possessions, the resentments that we hold for other people, all of this leads to a churning sea of restlessness as we battle flesh and spirit. Meanwhile, through the storm, Jesus is calling out, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's his promise. Now, a promise is defined as a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing. Come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's his promise. You come to me, I'll give you rest. I remember years ago, Newt Gingrich came up with the contract with America. We can think of this as a contract with Jesus. You do this, I'll do that. Sign on the dotted line. Where do I sign? We sign with come to me. Now, how do we do that? How do we get that done? Well, there's two prevailing thoughts here. The first is works. In other words, we do stuff that makes God happy. We follow a prescribed ritual of worship, all the while trying to be good people, or at least good enough. Sometimes we succeed, and we're good, and we're full of pride. Sometimes we fail, and we're bad. And we're full of shame. So that's the first school of thought. Now the second school of thought is called grace, which begins by recognizing the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in doing so, he lived a perfect life, void of sin, following God's law to perfection. And then he went to the cross and bore the sins of the whole world. And when he uttered his last words, it is finished. It was done. It was dealt with. The curse of sin was defeated. And if we accept what he has done for us, if we make him our Lord and Savior, then we are saved, not because of what we do, but simply because it pleases him to do so. This is pure grace as we allow God to direct our steps. You know, a couple months back, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I guess about two, maybe three months ago, we lost one of my great spiritual heroes, Dr. Charles Stanley. How wonderful he was. And Dr. Stanley had a very simple philosophy in the way that he lived his life. Wasn't easy, but very simple. He just said, I'm going to be obedient to God, meaning I'm going to do what he wants me to do, which includes not doing what he doesn't want me to do, period. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and then I'm going to get my hands off it, meaning I'm not going to try to manipulate the situation to try to get a certain outcome. No, 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 no. I'm just going to be faithful and do what God is calling me to do. And then I'll let the chips fall where they may, because he's in control, not me. And oh my, look at where that led him. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the promise, the contract that Jesus offers you today. I will give you rest. That sounds good, doesn't it? Because we live in a world that is restless. And where does all this restlessness begin? This restless heart that plagues us all. Well, to answer that question, we need to get back to the garden. We find it in Genesis. It's a story that I'm fairly sure just about everybody knows. God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in a perfect environment. They had everything they needed, including rest and peace. And they were eternal. Remember now, that was the original blueprint. We were created to be eternal. And God had one request. Although it wasn't really a request, it was more of a commandment. And he said, you may eat of any of the fruit of any of the tree in all of the garden, with one exception, the one in the middle, the tree of the knowledge between good and evil. Stay away from that tree. Do not eat of the fruit of that tree. In fact, don't even look at it. Stay away. Because if you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. And we all know how that worked out. They were deceived by the evil one, who came in the form of a snake. And he came with two lies. Number one, oh no, you surely won't die if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you won't die. That, of course, was a lie, because we did spiritually. Second lie, I call this the big lie. God knows that you will know the difference between good and evil. In other words, you don't need God, because you can be your own God. That's the big lie. It's a lie that this world has bought hook, line, and sinker. I don't need God because I can be my own God. This is the big lie. Now, when Adam and Eve bought into that lie, they went against God. And what happens to them? Immediately, their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. So they're full of shame, because the fruit of sin is shame. And shame causes anxiety, and anxiety causes restlessness. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the promise. Now, of course, a promise is only as good as the one who makes the promise. So, who's making this promise? Well, Jesus is making this promise. So let's look closely at who Jesus is and how he could make such a promise. I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, For although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. Okay, so I got three things here. Number one, consider that word gracious. That seems to support that second school of thought about grace, as opposed to I'm going to work really hard and elevate myself to when I'm good or at least good enough. So that's number one. Number two, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones, or the childlike, or the merest of children, depending on the translation. The Greek word is nepios, which literally means not to speak, like a baby, before a baby can speak. So what is Jesus getting at with this whole idea of little ones, childlike? Unless you acquire the heart of a child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that really mean? Well, let's consider what a child is. What is a child if not utterly dependent upon their parents? I mean, think about it. You can't put a baby into the street and leave it. It will die. Can't feed itself. Can't clothe itself. Can't get a job. A baby or a small child is utterly dependent upon their parents. Jesus is calling us to that same dependence on Him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay, number three. He says, you reveal them to the childlike. The word revealed, the Greek word is apokalypo, is the same word that we find in Peter's confession. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So we see that Peter is illuminated by the Father as to the truth of who Jesus is. And who is Jesus? Well, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And then, okay, here it is. And anyone the Son wishes to reveal Him. So what does that mean? That means that Jesus is the revealer. And that is how He can make this promise. The Father has revealed all things to Him. And the way to the Father is through Him. Clarified even further with, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Son is the only one who knows the Father. Now, I want you to let that sink in for just a second and consider how radical this concept must have been, particularly to the people to whom Jesus is talking to when he says these words. Because he's talking to people that believe that if you lived a righteous life, following the law, doing all the prescribed sacrifices with sacrificial temple worship, and following the tradition of the elders, then, you know, you were golden. You were in. You were righteous. You could stand before the Father if you worked hard enough. If you really put everything into it, you could perfect yourself to the point where you're good enough. This, of course, follows that first philosophy of thinking, that somehow I can earn salvation through my works. Now, Jesus shatters this when he says, if you want to know the Father, you got to come through me. It is I who bring you into relationship with the Father. The only one who knows the Father is the Son, and anyone he wishes to reveal himself to. Meanwhile, we are restless. Meanwhile, we are weary. We're like a pinball bouncing from one bumper of drama to the next. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Please understand, come to me is not just believe in me. Come to me implies an action. It's a verb. You got to do something. Consider the prodigal son. When he was knee-deep in filth in the pigsty, what happened? He made a decision, and that decision caused an action. And what was the action? I will rise and go to my father. That's all he did. Now, if you recall, his father was keeping an eye out for his son. And when he caught sight of him, while still far off, what did he do? He ran. He ran to his son in the same way. God is keeping an eye out for you, and he's just waiting for you to make your move. We got to make our move. Come to me. Now, we all struggle with doubt. We all struggle as the evil one whispers disbelief in our ear, sowing that doubt. As we go through the storms of this life, which there are many, it might be a sickness, it might be a failing marriage, it might be a tough situation at the office, it might be one of a thousand different maladies that befall us living in a fallen world. We might pray and pray and pray, yet no relief comes. And fear sets in, restlessness sets in, and we are overcome with shame. All the while, Jesus is saying, come to me, come to me. He does not say, practice spiritual discipleship. He does not say, try harder. He does not say, well, you don't have enough faith. You better step up your game. He doesn't say that. No. What does he say? He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Wow. That's the promise. That's the promise. And you know the thing about Jesus? He keeps his promises. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. And how do we do that? Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and I'd hear that word yoke, and I'd be like, what's he talking about? Yoke? Is he talking about eggs? Yoke? What's a yoke? Because, of course, I'm not a farmer. In fact, come to think about it, I don't even think I know a farmer. But during the days of Jesus, there were more farm animals than people. So they definitely would have known what a yoke was. But just in case there's somebody out there that doesn't know what a yoke is, it's a harness, usually made of wood. And this harness is connected to a plow or a wagon. And an ox or a mule or a horse or some beast of burden puts its head through the hole of the yoke and pulls the plow or the wagon. Now, in the ancient world, they would often have a double yoke. So they would have two ox or two mules or horse, whatever. And the farmer would team up the older ox with a less experienced ox. And he would put the older, more experienced ox on the outside and the less experienced, younger ox on the inside. Does anybody see where we're going with this? Okay. We are all bound to the plow of life. So the question becomes this: who or what are you yoked to these days? What's helping you get through this life? Who or what is helping pull your wagon? A relationship? An addiction? Some obsession? My friends, are you weary of heart as you drag this burden behind you? Jesus says, bind yourself to me. Follow my will in your life. And like Dr. Stanley said, just get your hands off it. I'll take care of the details. Once upon a time, there was a man who was riding into town on a horse-drawn wagon. And as he's riding down the road, he comes up on a stranger walking on the side of the road. It's an older man. He's got a big backpack on. So he pulls the wagon over and he offers the man a lift into town. And the man gladly accepts. And so he jumps into the back of the wagon to sit and ride into town. So after some time, the man driving the wagon turned around to check on his passenger. And he was surprised to see that as he's sitting in the back of his wagon, he had not taken off his backpack. So he shouted back, "Hey, why don't you take off that big backpack?" To which the stranger smiled, nodded, and with a great sigh of relief went, "Ah," as it slid off his shoulders. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. My friend, why don't you take off that backpack? Your backpack of shame, your backpack of regret, your backpack of resentment that you've been carrying for so long. Why don't you take it off? I challenge you this week. Unload your backpack. Let Jesus carry it for you. As we plow through this life, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Let us allow Him to bind to our yoke today. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.